This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I give that a blink 5 out of 182.
We all went through very, like, whoever hated it at the top got into it and then lost it. Whoever loved it at first lost it and brought it back. We all, like, did a little roller coaster.
I would have preferred What's Advice Again? What's Advice Again?
That's good.
Ooh, that's good. Someone should do that song. That would be nice.
Aaron, thoughts?
Were there 11 drummers in that song? It sounded like there were at least 11 drum kits.
That's how fast Travis Barker is.
JPC, are you aware of what song that was parodying?
Oh, yeah. I just think that they were having a good time. And I'm kind of here for anyone having a good time, especially in these chaotic and turbulent times.
That's
that
beautiful.
We all find ourselves
that's
in.
That's very politically correct. That's nice. Actually the right response.
That is the right response. But the I feel like the chorus was so bad that I just can't quite get there. You know,
I was having an awful time. They were having fun.
And that's what we support.
Yes. It was interesting to hear almost like an Aukerville River warble in a Blink-182 song. Like, it was very, very interesting. I don't think it worked, but it was interesting.
It was a cool choice.
For a moment, I felt like you got the audio from my middle school's talent show. I was like, how did they get this?
I'm feeling this.
This is crazy.
Jake, what can you tell? We've somehow ended up in a Blink-182 rabbit hole of theme song submissions. I think because we like Blink, Jake loves Blink, and then... Mm. People like sort of smell that out and like, all right, if you want Blink, here we go. So Jake, what do you know about that original song? Is that a Tom? Is that a Mark?
Feeling this is it's a Tom Mark duo. So Tom is singing the verses. I'll tell you, it ain't right now. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then Mark's doing the chorus. And Mark usually has a pretty soothing voice, but it seemed like that guy was doing an impression of someone who had gotten a lobotomy, right?
So he was mad about it during it.
Like, with his, I was blinking with his in the lab late one night.
I gotcha. Okay. All right, cool. Well, thank you to Lauren from Toronto, Canada for that I'm feeling pissed Blink-182 cover. He doesn't have anything for us to promote. He just wants us to do a collab with Game Grumps. So there we go. I guess.
Hey, in a dream come true, the Game Crunks are on the show.
Now, Game Crunk, correct me if I'm wrong, that's Garth Brooks' alter ego?
No, like, it's actually it's a video game YouTube channel. My Mario Kart buddy Aaron is the host there, so maybe we can get him on. You guys know him. Adel, why don't you call him right now? That way we can sort of schedule the next host or episode while you guys are here.
Rude thing here to do to guests, right?
Yeah.
To force them to do booking for
especially
us
at the top.
One five.
It hurts my feelings a little bit.
Just a little bit, right?
K-R-U-M-P. All right, that's dialing.
It's a rotary phone. 1-800. Hey Riddle is here in the house. That's JPC, it's Aaron, and it's Adel. Welcome back. This is your second episode with us, right?
Correct, yes.
We're sophomores, yeah. Thanks for having us.
That's cool. Wow. Last time you guys were able to fly to LA, traveling joy is canceled this year, so everyone is in Chicago still? You guys all in Chicago? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's cool. How's it over there? Is it getting cold, or are people staying indoors? What's the vibe?
You're fall leading with depressing coming questions, just so you know. How is it over there? Like, joy is canceled. How is it over there? Is it getting cold?
Yeah.
The pizza's getting more and more shallow.
You sound like a newscaster sending it to weather. How is it over there? It's horrible. Thanks so much. Back to you.
Well, JPC looks like he's in Cancun, and Adel looks like he's in Wisconsin in February. So, like, I'm trying to pick up a common vibe here, and I can't.
It's the end of summer, so it's still summer here today. I think it's like 80 today. It's actually nice today.
Whoa!
But we're getting fall. We've had a couple days that have been like sweatshirt days, so I'm excited for it. I love fall. Aside from everything else that's happening in the world, I feel like the weather aspect of fall is still very nice, and I kind of do like the gentle transition from summer into fall.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
It seems like this. The spring transition goes like lightning quick into summer, but fall always seems like a little slower of a decline.
Would you say it's like a red leaf sort of drifting aimlessly towards the ground, landing on a pile of previous seasons, sort of for us to crispity crunch, clack our way through as we step, rake, throw, burn, destroy, ashes.
Really does feel like audio for my middle school talent.
I'm feeling this. All right, sweet. Well, I'm sure you guys remember this is an advice show, an advice podcast, the only one on the internet that Jake and I host.
Correct.
That's almost 7 years running now. Nobody has done another advice show that we host. It's just us still. So that's pretty exciting.
Congratulations.
Is it your seven-year anniversary? Did it just happen, or are you coming up on it?
It happened in May, so it was just on the other side of summer.
So we're still still basking in the glow from that anniversary.
Sure.
That lucky.
Do we know what seven is? It's like paper,
plastic.
Plastic. Okay. Plastic. So credit cards. Yeah.
I'm just thinking of an Amex Platinum card.
Charge it to the game, baby.
It's plastic, not actual platinum. So we're good.
That's cool. All right, we got a question from a cool dude. So JPC, why don't you give us the coolest dude name we can refer to this guy as so we can conserve his anonymity?
Coolest dude name. I wanted to say Chad, and then I wanted to say Chet, so let's go with Chode.
Oh, that's good. Chode writes, "What's up, guys? I'm a healthy 22-year-old athletic guy. I work out 4 times a week and eat much healthier than the average individual. I'm a basketball player and I meditate daily." Pretty cool so far, right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Holy shit, he's amazing.
I wonder
fucking
if
4 times a week, you freak.
You can guess that I'm pretty health focused. However, despite everything I do to be healthy, I do have a vice. It's weed. I smoke a small joint every night, or every other night, as kind of a reward for me to chill out at the end of the day. I rarely drink, only on my best friend's birthdays, or smoke any crack. Is this a bad idea? Should I stop and force myself to take walks completely sober? I need your help. Thanks. Love, Chode.
Chode.
Can I ask a question? Did Chode say that he smokes crack on his best friend's birthdays?
No, he rarely drinks, only on his best friend's birthdays, and then he never smokes crack.
He never smokes crack.
He wants you to know that he does not smoke crack.
Yeah.
First of all, Chode, I really admire that you make your friends' birthdays about you. You get drunk and make it about you right on their birthdays.
Everyone's waiting for Chode. Yeah, it's a Chode drunk day of sorts.
Yeah. And so. if you're not a frequent drinker, that means that you get drunk real fast and make a scene. So that's pretty
Chode,
obnoxious.
Maybe this year for my birthday, don't drink.
Just the crack then? How do you figure? What is your guys' relation to the wacky backy, the devil's lettuce? Does anyone here imbibe in a jazz cigarette every now and then? Or are you guys squares to me?
Cop, that's a cop.
I tried to arrest you and fail.
No, I'll take edibles. I don't smoke an actual joint because that seems like way too much work for this daddy. So yep. I will do edibles, but the problem, it seems like you're going to come across, Chode, is at least when I take edibles, I get, my tummy is wants some yums. So I don't know how you smoke weed and then don't get hungry, and that would probably ruin your diet and your health and your men's fitness cover body.
Yeah, interesting.
So that would be the hurdle. So I would say if it's causing you to snack, then you got to stop.
If it causes you to snack, you must cut back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's good. That's really good. Although he is working out four times a week and playing basketball, so maybe that's not an issue for him.
Right, because he's already smoking.
Is it four times a week and then a fifth time that week he's playing basketball, or is he counting basketball as one of those workouts?
That's a great question. I would think because he plays basketball separately from working out, and then he workouts, he's talking about going to the gym and lifting.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool, right?
More props to
him. Does he say this is outdoor basketball, or is this NBA 2K?
Just a video game. Well, okay. He's from Toronto, so, however much outdoor activity you can get there before it starts getting frigid, the lake freezes. I'm trying to be with my friends, but I can't feel my hands. How can I grip a basketball if I'm uncomfortably numb?
I didn't realize how much of your poetry you'd be reading.
Yeah, so it's all available on the Patreon. full verses and stanzas and
that's right.
Rhymes
our highest
and
tier,
rhymes
you
alike.
You get to not read it. So
for $30 a month, I'll shut the fuck up.
I think for Chode here, he's describing seems like a relatively normal thing, where it's like you smoke. He even says it's a small joint. You smoke a little weed. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. It's fine to smoke weed. It kind of feels like he front-loaded all that health stuff because he wanted to be punished for, his bad behavior. Maybe there's something in there that he's like, I'm a bad boy, right? And don't bad boys deserve to get in trouble for smoking a little weed? But, I kind of don't want to feed into that thing. So I'm just going to say, you're normal. You're fine. I'm not going to spank you. No one on this podcast is going to spank you, dude.
Spank you.
Actually,
spank
I think
you very
I
much.
Might... I might feed into the bad boy. You're a bad boy, Chode. You're naughty. You've been naughty, and it's time for you to be punished.
And sorry, Jake, can you ASMR that? Ooh, yes.
Oh, Jesus. I hate that I'm hard, because it was unrelated, but now there's some fucking part of my body that likes it now, and a Pavlovian response.
It was the third spank.
Your dick is hungry like that dog.
Yeah, Chode, I don't trust people who don't have vices. If you're not indulging in something a little bit every week, then your whole lifestyle is going to crumble around you. Mm-hmm.
That's a great.
You need an outlet for something.
That's a good question. What's your vice? What's your biggest vice? And don't say Miami Vice, now available on demand.
I would say probably ruining my friends' birthdays.
So alcohol.
It sort of lets out some steam.
That's my thing.
Oh, that was for sure my thing growing up. Anytime my sisters would have a birthday or a prom or something, I'd be like, here we go. Time to make it about me.
In a drinking fashion?
Oh, just in anything.
Yeah.
Like faking injuries.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, just.
Peacocking in a way. Mm-hmm. So I'll break a foot just so people sort of ask me what's wrong. And I will deal
exactly.
with that. Yeah. Jake, what would you say is your biggest vice?
I think drinking, and that's an actual unhealthy one, because you're poisoning your body. Smoking weed's not even bad for you, right? That's kind of been proven. That's fine.
I don't know, if you do it every day, I'm sure it's not great mentally in the long
term. Definitely, it's not as bad as the amount of whiskey I drink. Like, if I could trade drinking whiskey for smoking weed, I'd be healthier for sure.
Yeah. Do you drink?
What do you mean?
Night?
Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah.
What?
So you know I have a problem?
Fucking just holding a glass of scotch. Jesus, you're shaking.
It's 9 a.m., man.
You've got a Nalgene full of whiskey. That's like so much.
So you caught that? I tried to turn my video off.
That was hot gin. Adult JPC, vices. What's your go-to?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I would say beer or like tiki drinks or just TV in general.
Mm. Yeah.
Vegging out.
Yeah, I think my video games is probably my biggest vice.
Yeah, does that count?
I guess. I think so, because I don't, like, ultimately it's not super healthy for you to just, like, sit in front of a screen for, like, 4 hours and play video games. So I think that counts as a vice.
That's true. I guess if you do it excessively, anything is a vice.
Yeah.
What's your vice?
Me? I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, you wanted, you got everyone's fucking
AR-15. So could...
you just shoot your computer.
he just shut up his own house.
I think the vice that I like doing the most that is most dangerous to me is gambling.
Mm. Oh,
what's that's your, a good one, though.
Yeah, that's a real
what's your
vice.
Poison?
Yeah, it's a good one.
We talk
that's a cinematic vice. That's like a cool vice. A good way to ruin your life.
So you read my story, Cinematic Vice. That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know because nobody opened the PDF yet, so I figured nobody actually
I'm
got it.
I'm a patron, so yeah.
What's your game? You're a bit of a Vince Vaughn.
Play craps? Online roulette and lose sort of half my life savings on this app. No, I do a lot of sports betting from home, nice. And then when Vegas exists, go there and gamble. But because I'm such a wiener, even like my vices are not like I still am scared as I still gamble as much as I did when I had no money at all. So I'm not like betting $30,000 on a football game. I'm betting like $25 on a basketball game to make it a little more exciting. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
one of my closest friends, he makes all of his money from poker. He's that good at it. But in college, he got addicted to it. So his life is like this fine line where like your job can turn into an addiction.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to talk to him about.
I dabbled with online poker. I'm like, can I just do this? But then it doesn't make sense to me. Like there are weeks where you just lose. And then it's like, oh, shit. At my job today, I lost $1,100. Not a good look.
And that's at my job.
Yeah. I'm a professional player, so I lose 48% of the time instead of 51%. Yeah, I've done the math, and I think this is it for me podcast-wise. I'm going to try to do that, try to handicap for a living. So I'm going to go to a horse race park, OTB as it were, and sort of see if I can make money on the ponies, figuring out which ones will finish first, second, and of course third, because that's how you get that trifecta box. And yeah, if all goes well, you'll never see me again.
I gotta ask, what horse are you putting the big money on?
I don't want to give too much away, but there's one called the Lucky Jew that's been placing pretty well at local parks. Also, I said I go to the track, and then I also do off-track betting. So that part of the story didn't make sense, but I'm trembling because I haven't placed a bet in 14 minutes, so I'm starting to freak out a little bit.
The track has free Wi-Fi for you to make those, those illegal online bets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you better believe that. Back to this guy. Are we concerned too much about his daily pot smoking, or is that fine?
I think it's a good balance for his life. Mm-hmm.
This email seemed like a vehicle for him to be a braggart.
Yeah.
He wanted to tell us he works out four times a week, but he didn't have a problem, so he invented one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Couched within this issue, quote unquote, was like 40 good things about this dude. So go to hell.
Congrats, Chode. You're the man.
Have you guys ever like tried to quit something just to see if it wasn't a problem? Like, if I can just stop drinking or stop doing this for a week, then it's not an issue. But then it's like, wait, maybe that makes it a problem because I'm trying to quit it. And then there's like a weird catch 22.
When I was in high school, I was like, no more soda, no more fucking fast food. I'm cutting them both out. I'm going to be healthy. No fast food, no soda. And then like 2 weeks later, I was like, no soda. That's what it's going to be. Fast food still on the table. It's still good. Let's just cards on the table, everyone. We know it's still good. But yeah, that to me it was very, very the convenience factor is very difficult. But I wanted to see if I how much I could do it.
Yeah. I remember trying to give up French fries for a month and it was
not easy.
Wait, you I thought
ordering
you gave up
a side salad with every hamburger like a freaking wiener.
I thought you gave up like cookies for a year.
It wasn't a year, but I did give up cookies. Yeah, I think like for 6 months I was like, I eat like so many cookies over the course of the week. If I just stopped eating them, I would probably... I remember finding out that like carbs made you fatter. That was like not a revelation of mine until after college.
I remember when I was in college, I was like, all right, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm just going to eat pasta. I thought that was healthy. I was like, all right, no more.
Did you get scurvy right away?
You got curvy right away.
I tried to cut out caffeine because I was like, I'm not addicted to it. Mm. I just like it. And then immediately got such a bad migraine that I threw up.
Oh my God. From one.
As soon as you said it.
I went like 6 hours and I was like, I have to go to the hospital. I'm dying.
Whoa.
I'm so addicted to caffeine.
That's a good one for Jake, too. You also drink coffee a lot.
I actually recently started. I'm not. There's no way I can quit coffee. I like, aside from needing it, I just really love it. But I did. I stopped drinking coffee in the afternoon. So like last coffee is at noon, but I've just found a way to pack them all in before then.
And then that's you'll smart. Have the caffeine pills at like 2 and 3, right?
Then I move over to whiskey by 3:30 and it's fine.
Yeah, and then I'll have
and
like
a little bit of crack.
if it's my friend's birthday, I'll have a little crack.
Whiskey mixed with a 5-hour energy just right before bed to soothe you.
It's actually really impressive to quit fast food in high school. I feel like most high schoolers don't have the impulse to give anything up. It seems like when you're 16, you just do whatever the fuck you want, especially food-wise.
I've always been kind of like a big like aesthetic. Like I remember when I was in high school, my mom, she came into my bedroom and she was like, we have to buy posters for your bedroom. You have to hang something in here. It looks like a prison cell. Like you have to have something. So I've kind of always been like that, but I also like really like I'm like 7 years sober. I've been a vegetarian for 17 years
wow.
now.
Wow.
So I'm pretty good at like cutting things out within reason. But then there are things like that, like fast food, where it's like sometimes it feels like a necessity.
Yeah.
But that is an excuse. You just kind of like make up the excuse.
Do you still do fast food even as a vegetarian? You'll just get like an Impossible burger and fries.
Honestly, yeah, like the revolution of Impossible Burgers coming out at places has made that option. Like, I haven't had McDonald's in probably
revolution
yeah, 17 years.
Think of all of the revolutions in history that is such an insult.
Your own personal Les Mis.
Yeah.
Didn't your mom also eventually buy you a Raquel Welch poster?
She's leaning on a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Mom, that's hot. I'm yeah. uncomfortable. Mother.
It wasn't just buy a poster. It was like, have this personality.
Yeah. And it worked. She made you a gamer.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Thank some sponsors and come back with more questions and answers with the HRRC. That's the Hey Riddle Riddle crew.
Nice.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's right. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag-and-drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness?
It's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should
be. I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitness yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we are back. Hey, do any of you three have any?
On to Lesson of the Five. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
It feels almost like we led into that from the last. They're so related to the poster.
Joke
thing.
About that issue. Freudian wise.
Unfortunate that it comes up more often than I would wish. All right.
Adel, you got some unsolicited advice?
Yeah, I just moved into a house and for my first house ever, and I have to say, thank you so much. I have to say my unsolicited advice is never hire professional movers. This is like my fifth time in Chicago hiring professional movers. I've always had stuff break. They cost twice what they quoted. It was a nightmare situation. It took 8 hours for them to move. So I don't know if I just have bad luck of the draw, but I would say post on Craigslist, drive around in the parking lots of your local college with pizza and beer.
Don't do that.
And get. I can't stress. Everyone else is shaking their head. No, I can't stress enough. Don't hire professional movers. It absolutely sucks every single time.
So you do want help moving. You just don't want it to be from a professional.
Yeah, there's something. I have never met a moving company, the people who operate that, who are not just the shadiest motherfuckers I've ever met in my life.
It is a weird industry. Like, I feel like I put in a moving quote when I was moving to LA. I submitted somewhere online, and then for like the next year and a half, I got a phone call like every few days of like a different place trying to give me a quote to let me move.
No thanks. Yeah, it's the guys hard. I just used, they took 8 hours, and by the end of it, where there was like 2 hours left, they ended up calling two other people to come help. Because they're just like, hey, we're moving slower than we thought, so we're going to call more people. And it's like, I'm paying you motherfuckers by the hour. Like, there's something just wrong about paying a company by the hour, and then they can just take their time and make more money. Like, why wouldn't they take their time? There's no incentive for them to hurry. So I would say just get some, don't get friends, because then they'll resent you. Because I've resented friends who've asked me to help, and then I end up helping, and it's awful. But I would say, yeah, get some college kids, especially in these uncertain times. Everyone's looking to make a quick buck, so... Yeah.
So drive around a college campus with beer and pizza, luring the kids back to
18
your
18-year-olds.
Or high school with candy.
College bloated and drunk. Are notoriously good at moving bureaus. They're just so good at moving like very fragile vases.
They all have that belt that helps them sort of move their legs.
You're advocating for hiring like lower paid workers to do the same skill as these skilled workers. You're essentially like union busting or crossing the picket line.
My man, well done, Adam. What I'm saying is that these aren't skilled workers. We had, to start, there was four guys and only one of them was moving boxes. And guess what? He was moving one at a time. The system's broken, my man. I'll pay for skilled workers, but I'm just saying you can't be a professional moving company and have unskilled lazy fox and say I owe them, you know, $200 an hour. Unbelievable. Yeah.
I think I've moved three times in Chicago. I've used different movers every time, and it was one of the better experiences of my entire life. Not having to move any of my stuff, and then everything gets to where it's supposed to be in the time that it's supposed to be, and everything works out. Yeah, that's well worth it. But I also know that I have less stuff than you, Adel, mm-hmm. and I don't want to say that you have a bunch of crap. But we live different lives.
I will say, you don't even have a poster.
I don't have crap.
I will say, you've been to my place. I had those like glass, it's like ceramic phrenology heads, which are like, I don't know, $80 to $100 a pop. All those smashed. I had two or three of those. They're all smashed. I'm missing my microwave plate. Like what happened to that? Why is that gone? I'm missing a weight set. I'm missing so much stuff.
I'm about to move myself, and part of my I have hired a mover, and part of the quote was like telling him how many boxes I have. I'm like, I don't know yet. I haven't packed. Yeah. I'm at the stage where I'm contacting the mover. I don't have the boxes. We're doing this a month from now. So like, yeah, the quote's only, it's only an estimate till like they have all of your shit.
I wouldn't even have an educated guess of how many boxes it would be. I would have no idea.
They quoted us at like $650, and it ended up being $1,400.
Oh boy!
Oh Jesus!
So over twice.
Worth it.
Yeah,
I think a good rule for estimating boxes is like think of the maximum amount of boxes that you could ever possibly imagine all of your stuff fitting in, and then double it or triple it. Because whenever you're fucking moving, it always it's like no way am I going to use 20 boxes, and then you have like 48 boxes, and you're like this is half.
Right,
this is half
you're
the
stuffing
boxes.
A tea towel into the corner of a box.
Aaron, did you have unsolicited advice?
I do. This was given to me as unsolicited advice, and it actually I think is great, is have two separate Instagrams and have one Instagram be people that you've met and you know in real life, and have another Instagram to follow like artists and celebrities and musicians or whoever else, and then don't go on the celebrity Instagram more than like once a month, because I think it messes with your brain and the psychology of like seeing your friends as celebrities and seeing celebrities as friends.
That's really
interesting.
I thought you were going to say, and then delete them both.
Oh, yeah, obviously do that. But if you're addicted to them, like I am, it helped me a lot. It just was like, oh, this is nice, because now I'm just looking at like my friends' kids and not celebrities.
That makes a lot of sense. That's really nice. I know that I was like, I teased myself about using the close friends thing on Instagram. I like filled out, like I chose all my close friends and I was like, I'll post to my close friends, and then I never did. But there is something that's like, it's crazy to like look through that and be like, wow, I follow a lot of people and I have like 30 close friends. Interesting.
Yeah.
So wait, so the ones that you don't want to view are just the celebrities, or is it other people?
It just people, like sometimes it's like artists or people I don't know, just because I think it messes with my brain a little bit.
So
it's very peaceful.
Do you have like two different names? Like the people, your close friends and stuff know you as one thing, and then you have just like a fake Instagram for the other one.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but my name on it is Emily, which is this sort of other cool, kind of just like a sexy undercover
and when you
job
look,
that I have.
When you look on that, when you wear a blonde wig and fishnets?
Yeah. and like Clark Kent glasses.
And a tiny
I'm a
pistol.
Whole different person. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, let's bring in Emily. Emily, I'd like to talk to you about your Instagram.
Hello.
Oh no. Oh no.
I thought she was cool.
No, she's not cool at all.
What about just unfollowing celebrities on Instagram?
Yeah, that's probably the better thing to do. But
you're
that's
not going to do happen. That. No one's doing that. No. That's fun.
Yeah.
Like, I want to follow Diane Keaton on Instagram, but I don't need to know how her whole life is going all the time. I can check in with her once every 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How is Diane, by the way?
She's great. Yeah. She's thriving.
How many pictures is she wearing white pants in?
Probably all of them. She's wearing a hat in almost all of them, I'm sure.
Oh, you better believe Diane Keaton's wearing a hat. Isn't that right, Emily?
That's right. I can't find her voice. I need a couple more minutes.
Have you guys seen that Social Dilemma documentary? Has it changed your social media habiting?
Oh, it just stressed me out.
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Jake. I said yet like I was planning on seeing it.
I walked in while my girlfriend was watching it, and it was... All I saw was like a reenactment with one of the guys from Mad Men and then the guy from The Righteous Gemstones. And I was very confused because I was like, what is this series? And she's like, it's like a documentary. And I'm like, well, those are clearly like semi-famous actors. Like, what's going on? So
they went a little too far in the reenactment thing. That I found that to be unsettling and bizarre. And by the end, I was skipping ahead like 4 minutes at a time because it was all some weird teleplay. It made no sense. I thought that was crazy.
It's really weird to see Pete from Mad Men in a hoodie where I was like, this, it just made my skin crawl because I'm like, he should be in a suit and tie. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Have you changed anything about your social media consumption, Jake, since watching this doc? I know you're incredibly impressionable, so I'm just wondering if it actually had an effect on you. I know that after Food Inc., you didn't eat a hamburger for a decade.
Yeah, no, I don't want to let this one sink in too much, and I don't think it really even would because I threw my phone away, so I can't even really like use the phone to change my behavior.
Because there was a B on it, not because of the
for another reason, yeah.
But has it changed anything or not really? Or just made you more aware of...
I'm only like a week, it's only been a week, but I think I just started noticing like I would pick up my phone to like look at an alert to see if anyone emailed me, and then the phone is like in my hand, so I'm like, oh, I might as well go on Instagram, and then
sure,
and so I'm trying to be a little more conscious of just like absent-mindedly getting sucked into my phone. I still have to get sucked into my phone though, so I don't know, it's a really weird balance.
Yeah, like waiting in line or sitting on a toilet, what are you supposed to do? I can only bring my Rubik's Cube so many places.
I did a thing. Well, so this was more at the beginning of quarantine, like maybe like March or April. But I put the like time limit thing on my phone because I have an iPhone. So it's like if you've been on Twitter for over an hour, it just says like, hey, no more Twitter for today. And then you can bypass it, but then you have to feel bad. And it's like, are you sure you want to break that promise that you made to yourself?
Yeah.
And I found that helpful. I mean, at least it helps like have someone else be like, hey, you've been on Twitter for an hour today. Like, that seems insane, right? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, for sure. It's insane. Like, I'll put this down.
I think the best thing, and this, I don't know if they're still doing that, but I know Lauren Lapkus and her husband did a thing where they gave each other their phones and they concocted a password for each other's Instagram account or Twitter account and then gave back the phone. And then anytime they want to use Instagram or Twitter, they have to hand it to their spouse and say, hey, would you put in the password? And then they'll let them in. And so that way you're being held accountable to some degree of like, do I want to bother them about this right now? Or like, maybe they're not around, maybe they're gone, so I can't even do that. So I think that's a kind of a cool method.
Oh, interesting.
That is really cool.
Another thing that I did on my phone is I changed, like, my Twitter app and my email app and stuff, they're always in the exact same place on my home screen, and I just swapped locations with, like, Google Home or, like, shit that I don't ever, ever, ever open just to see how many times I unconsciously grab my phone and open up Google Home, and then I'm like, why am I controlling my lights right now? Like, what the fuck am I doing? And it's just, like, it's my brain being like, get on Twitter, get on Twitter, get on Twitter.
I did the exact same thing, except with my photo app. So, like, just constantly, like, opening up my latest photos. I'm like, oh, all right, weird.
What about this? It's a dummy Instagram that just shows you Google image search randomness. So it's like you're still scrolling through pictures so you get the dopamine rush, but like it doesn't actually, which is basically what Instagram is. Like I look at it and then it's like, if you ask me 30 seconds later, what'd you see? I'd be like,
that's cool.
I don't know.
You should be able to post on it too, and then as you scroll to your photo, it'll be
that's
like
Instagram.
1,000 likes, 1,000.
Yeah, that's
but
Instagram.
No, like they wouldn't be real likes, you know?
Yeah, I see. So
yeah,
like,
there should just be an app that's like you got a million likes and a million comments.
Oh, that's
and
an app
like,
that sends you notifications of positive likes and comments.
That's good.
Oh, cool! Diane Keaton just said nice pants.
Yes.
So we're just talking about living in a coma style life, and then they're just pumping you full of dopamine. That's not actually true. A VR.
Yeah, this is like a Black Mirror episode.
What an improvement.
You mentioned the Rubik's Cube earlier. Did you guys watch that Rubik's Cube documentary on Netflix?
No.
Of the competition?
No.
I sobbed.
Wow.
And it's really short. Go watch it. I cried so hard the whole time. It's amazing.
It's 7.5 seconds long, but it's really, really good. If you slow it down.
It's a Vine.
But it's so
interesting. It's like a Vine from 2015, and it made me sob.
My friend has got a Rubik's Cube, and I used to know how to do it, so I was like, oh, I should do that again, because then it, you know, preoccupies your hand so that you can't actually scroll. You're just moving colors around. We're like, because my appetite for social media gratification is insatiable, then maybe I can make a TikTok about it. And then so it's almost like a way for me to like still get that dopamine rush, even though I'm doing the Rubik's Cube. So if I can just fucking do it faster and faster, and it's never fast enough, right?
Will you put the password in, please, Avital?
What if there's unlock my phone?
What if there's an app? Listen up, tech heads. What if there's an app where you have to like solve a riddle or a puzzle or a Rubik's Cube, and then if once you solve it, then you get, you know, 10 minutes of Instagram time or something.
Ooh. That's good.
It's like one of those alarm clocks that you have to like, you know, those alarm clocks that break apart or like run away from you, so you have to get out of bed and
what?
Have you ever seen those things?
Is this from Interstellar?
The hardest I laughed in the last 2 years was when I discovered those alarm clocks that jump off of your side table
and you have to chase it
to turn it off.
That's insane.
I've never laughed harder in my life. I was sob, crying.
That's
being
wild.
Like, what are we doing?
Are they little robots?
Why are you so tired?
Do they have like wheels or something? Or how, that's
yeah, they have wheels and they like scream. And so at like 8 a.m., they just roll off your side table and chaotically go around your room. So you have to, in a panic, just like try to find the screaming robot that's maybe under your bed.
I am ordering one of these tonight.
Remember the game?
Remember
the game Perfection as a kid, where it's like fucking trembling and you're like putting puzzle pieces
in
slowly.
Oh my god, I thought like that's pops so much anxiety. Yeah. I hated that game.
Oh yeah.
So it could be that as an alarm of sorts.
Oh, horrible.
You wake up and you're instantly in a bomb defusing situation.
It's like the worst way to wake up is that much stress.
Instantly. Humans create problems and then force weirder, more difficult issues. It's like when you found your friend Dave sleeping with his sunglasses on in a bright room. Instead of just like turning the room off, we just add more sunglasses. And then we make lights brighter, and then we have to make newer sunglasses. Anyway,
so funny.
JPC, does JPC have advice?
Unsolicited.
Unsolicited advice. My unsolicited advice would just be something that I've been doing a lot more during these uncertain times. That
video games.
Yourselves in. Video games. No, it's just go for walks. Like try your best to go for walks. Wear masks if you go outside, but like walk around a little bit, especially when the weather is nice. Because I like the fall weather, but. If you are one of these people that is like cooped up inside your own house or apartment or condo or whatever, get out, get some fresh air.
That's a good idea.
I know that my advice isn't polarizing, like, you know, don't hire movers or create a new Instagram account every month and then delete it.
Someone will make it polarizing. Someone will find a way to be like, how dare you say go outside?
Yeah, I've been staying inside more and I've never been healthier, happier. Teeth falling out. Why, I'm paler than the night sky. Greasy,
big
white
sun isn't going to control me.
I can get behind walks. I can definitely get behind walks. That's great.
Is anybody a dog owner? I'm a dog owner, so the walks that I take are like mandated by a third party who is very insistent that we go out there. But I think that's also just kind of an excuse for me. Like I like having a walking buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's nice to have to pick up shit too on a walk. It's like usually that's it's awful. Like I'm just walking and I don't have to pick up any duty. And now it's like, oh, now I have to pick up little duties. That's good.
Sometimes I'll be walking without my dog and I'll see like a goose or a rat dropping or something like that and I'll pick it up just because I fucking missed the rush. Yeah. It's like Aaron's fake Instagram.
I'll use a leaf.
I just need it.
Of a bag.
that tactile feel of a very thin sheet of plastic between you and touch and poop. Ooh, baby. Oh, yeah.
You and oblivion, baby.
I live in downtown Chicago, and so I can't really walk with my dog. We can go to the park that's attached to my building, and that's it, because like the sound of the trains and like the amount of traffic and construction sound, she's just too scared.
She's not into it.
No. She's an indoor dog.
Oh, yeah. I will say that the caveat to that is I was, which is a Chicago street, but I was walking down Halsted the other day because we were picking up food, and it's not in an area where I live. It's like way busier, and there was just so many people on the street, and I was like having anxiety because I was like, this is not like me walking in my neighborhood. This is stressful. It's like I watched a man just without a mask openly spit onto the ground. I'm like, people are still doing this? Yeah. This is wild. Like, what are we doing? So that part is not ideal. Deal, but if you have a quieter place to walk, it's great.
Mediterranean food, or what were you picking up? Like Chipotle?
Hawaiian food,
really? Like Hawaiian. A poke bowl, or like what was it? Like so a rice with like or an acai.
I'm a vegetarian, so it was like rice and tofu for
yeah,
me.
Fish. Are you hungry right now? Are you eating fish? Like
was it poi?
Salmon?
Probably some
yeah,
sort
was
of poi.
Poi, yeah, like a
no. It was like spam katsu loco moco was what my girlfriend Ooh. Got, which is like deep fried spam. Rice, mac salad, egg, and gravy.
It sounds fucking amazing. Oh my
spam God. Is, yeah, I mean, it's good.
Spam is meat or not meat?
Spam is ham.
Spam is meat.
Spam
I
is.
Guess.
You cannot have spam.
I can't have spam.
Spam is like army ration meat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, which is why like Hawaiian food and kind of incorporated it, because there was a bunch of it for like military bases, I guess, mm-hmm. on Hawaii. And so then they kind of embraced it and now they use it a lot in like Hawaiian food.
I didn't know I was going to learn today.
Loco mocos. Anytime you see a restaurant serving loco mocos, buy one. They are delicious.
By the restaurant?
They're so good.
Mm-hmm. The hell? How much money do you have? You fucking walk around town buying fucking restaurants? That's awesome, dude.
Oh, I'm ruined, but...
because I've invested in Hawaiian food in the Midwest. Nobody will fucking walk in here.
Well, it's the names of the restaurant. I have Poi Dog Pondering. It's a lot of terrible just band names.
Jake and I are considering moving to Hawaii, so this is all good information.
Yeah, we've been talking about it.
Do you have a specific island that you're thinking about?
Maui. Great question. It's Maui.
Maui.
The jewel of Hawaii.
Really?
The road to Hana. Have you guys been before?
I have. No.
Together?
Yes. We've been to Hawaii.
We've been
before,
to Hawaii.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been to Honolulu. I've been to Oahu, but I've never been to Maui. I'd love to go to Maui. I'd love to be in Maui. I'd love to live in Maui.
Yeah. You have to take the road to Hana, and the road to Hana is just this winding, beautiful road, and it ends at Charles Lindbergh's grave, which is just a delight.
Wow.
And there's really good
do
Hawaiian
what
food.
Reality
yes.
TV shows do, and just like go to Hawaii for a little bit.
Oh,
like
that's
Jake
cool.
and Amir take Hawaii.
Yeah,
see you guys partying there.
That's
no
cool.
one's filming you. But yeah,
we could do it as a podcast. Jake and Amir take Hawaii, and it's just us broadcasting from our Airbnb about the movies that we're watching.
Can I suggest you shorten Jake Amir Hawaii into Jamiroquai?
Ooh, Jamiroquai.
Virtual insanity.
I will say I love Hawaii, but it's the least creative that I've ever felt in my entire life being in Hawaii, because I'm like, what is the point of creating comedy or anything when you could just like lay in the sun and climb a mountain and swim in the water? It's like, why? It's already paradise. Like, yeah. Why would you need to do anything?
There's nothing left to achieve.
It. Yeah, I want to. Sorry, I meant go to Hawaii and retire. I'm done.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't need to create more new stuff. That sounds great to me too. I've tweeted my last tweet, posted my last TikTok. You'll
just
never
go to Hawaii and pick up dog shit, please.
Yes.
The hard part is convincing somebody to pay me $20,000 a month to live there, which is actually why I brought you guys. Because $20,000 a month is a lot, but divided by three. Feels like reasonable, right? $600 to $700 a pop. Aaron, can I count on you?
Yeah, only if you send me a poem every day.
No, because that's the creativity shit. This is what I said.
Oh my God. She was on board.
No, I don't
want to. Wow.
Do it.
And I was in the middle of writing a check. So well done.
Fuck. All right, fine. Every other day, but that's it. All right. We got one last question about Neighbors. Neighbors. Ooh. This is a 20-something Canadian gal. So, Aaron, you've already created a character in this podcast. So, what's one more? Can you think of the name of a 20-something Canadian gal?
Let's call her Hockey.
That's cool. Hockey writes, I'm a 20-something...
It's gender neutral.
I'm a 20-something Canadian gal who lives with her parents and is in a bit of a predicament. The backyard neighbors, that's neighbors for you guys, liked a hot tub in the nude.
With an O or an OU, yeah.
Yeah.
Continue.
They liked a hot tub in the nude. It's a man in his 50s who lives there, but his girlfriend is also a participant in the nudist activities. Our kitchen window backs into their backyard, so every day around 5 p.m. when I'm making dinner, there's an unwanted show. They installed a screen on the back of the hot tub in our direction, but have only ever used it if they could explicitly see us in our backyard. My parents also have seen the show, and they, my mom at least, would appreciate the screen down or bathing suits on. I thought about writing an anonymous letter to them to make the screen door or use the one that they installed, but I think our backyard and house is the only one with a direct view, so they wouldn't really be anonymous. Am I being prude and just need to avoid looking out the window for a couple hours? An outside perspective would be appreciated. Thanks for making Mondays better. Love from Canada, Hockey.
All right, Hockey.
Would you guys be excited or pissed if you had to stare at a nudist couple?
Are those my only two options?
Yeah. Excited or pissed.
Did it say how old the girlfriend was?
Yeah, I'm so confused about that. Like, the man is in his 50s and then he has a girlfriend?
That's right. A girlfriend who is a participant, and then
she's 99.
Sure what age. Yeah. nude people.
I love how we anonymized her age.
Are they kissing and stuff, or are they just sitting naked?
Yeah, that's the question.
I think they're just chilling.
They're just enjoying the tub.
Yeah, I mean, like, it, when they say, like, you have to look at it, you don't. Like, you just don't. You don't. You just don't. You just do not have to look at that.
The third option of not being excited or pissed, just ignoring it.
Neutral.
I think that there's a couple of different ways that you could go about this. Like, if you wanted to, you could just have a conversation with them and say, hey, we see you naked in your hot tub often. Like, it's weird. It's uncomfortable. Would you use the screen? Perfect. Or my option, because I don't like that kind of confrontation, go buy a tripod, set up a camera on your porch facing their backyard. Don't stand by it, just set it up. The presence of a tripod and a camera pointed at me would stop me from being naked. I'm sorry, it just would.
It's also not illegal to have a tripod.
That could backfire immediately, because they've been there getting naked more, and you're like, oh no, they are into it. They're excited.
Get
to
off
film.
To that shit.
I'm on board with JPC's idea in terms of, one, yeah, I think a conversation of just like, hey, this is around the time I cook dinner. Could you do this an hour earlier or an hour later so that it's not during my meal prep time? or I do love the idea of like the passive aggression of like having every day at that time have like a garage sale that's like or like backyard sale so that you're populating your backyard with like 20 people who are inevitably going to see that, so it makes them uncomfortable. Body shame, do your thing, just don't put that out there for others where they have to see it.
What about fighting fire with fire?
Okay.
So
Hockey lives with her parents.
Hockey, how'd you like to take a fucking nude jacuzzi with your mom and dad every day at dinner time?
Please, news.
Dicks and boobs as far as the eye can see, and then another neighbor starts complaining and they get in on the action, and suddenly it's this fucking bacchanalian orgy street party of epic proportions. Everyone's greasy, wrestling, getting naked and hot and bothered. Mom, this is really fucking sexy.
Now that's a neighborhood watch.
I don't you have blinds? I would just put my blinds up at night. Like, do you need it? You don't need the light coming in because it's nighttime. Just put a curtain up or put your blinds down and let them enjoy their yard.
I do think your blinds does make some sense, because it's not sure. I mean, it sounds like the view is directly of the neighbor's hot tub anyway, so you're not losing that much, you know, whether they're in it or not, if the blinds are drawn. My other idea is to just kind of start going in and out of the house during your dinner prep. You know, maybe you're grilling, maybe you're eating on the porch, maybe you're taking out the garbage, but just sort of make it seem like the backyard is not like
bird
a private
watching.
Oasis. Yeah, just you're in and out of the house, giving the neighbors, like, put the fear of God in them just a little bit. Like, oh, we're not actually alone back here. Because how hard is it to just leave the screen down all the time? Why do they put it up sometimes?
Not hard.
Why do they put it up
ever?
You're
absolutely right. Just like, it's blinds would solve this problem immediately. It's also, I think, maybe the least fun way to solve this problem. I think that what Hockey needs to remember is, like, have yourself a time. Like, the next time he's coming out, you know, naked to his hot tub, rush out there and be like, hey, just wanted to let you know, you should see, like, a penis doctor, because that's not what they're supposed to look like. So get that schedule on your own time, but do that quickly, because you are running out of time.
Men love it when you call their penis weird. They love that.
What are you trying to say?
Not even talking about you. She's talking about the other
No, but hey. First of all, nobody said weird. I said not supposed to look like that.
Wait, and real quick, Amir, does your doctor grab your dick when he checks for a hernia?
just the optometrist. Yeah, no other doctor does that.
Just the dentist.
That's why I was recommending a water pick earlier off mic. But yeah, so he'll grab my dick and tell me to sort of rinse between my
right, buddy.
So I have a receding scrotal line, which is sort of like, it starts in my underbite and goes all the way down through my taint, out my shaft. And I have this...
Oh, there's so many words I hate here.
Anal gingivitis of sorts. It's disgusting. I have a plaque on my rack. So across my chest, I have this thick, almost hardened white cock. C-A-U-L-K, but... Hold on.
That's the Canadian pronunciation.
There's a police outside my fucking house.
Finally.
Yeah. I guess somebody called because I've been podcasting in the nude for a while, and I guess they can see it. Shit. All right, sweet. So I guess blinds if you're uncomfortable, or get over yourself. It's not that big of a deal. Would you guys do anything about it? Or you guys don't care?
I don't think it would bother me so much.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But then again,
I think my neighbors like naked in New York City all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah, I see you have binoculars right there too.
So
like
cool.
Some easy, of them aren't easy. Quite naked, and you'll shout, "Come on, you can take it off."
What are you waiting for?
I don't think I've ever been to New York City, by the way, without seeing someone naked in their apartment. Just because there's so many buildings, there's so many windows, and there's so many like exhibitionist like type people out there that are like. Legit, every time I go to New York City, I'm like, naked person, there it is.
Yeah.
It happens. Just standing.
And sometimes you're in front of the window and you realize that the naked person is you.
Yeah.
I'm the naked person today.
And Japes, didn't you go to Times Square and see a naked cowboy?
Yeah, it was so confusing. I'm from the Midwest and I was like, I love cowboys, but I don't love this showing off your body. So what's happening here?
In Hockey's defense, if I lived with like friends or a partner, the nudity wouldn't bother me. But nudity and sex and all sorts of things like that are embarrassing when you are living with your parents. I wouldn't want to have that discussion with like my mom and dad of like, what should we do about the naked neighbor?
Yeah,
it's a lot less whimsical when it's with your parents.
With parents, any sex discussion should be through posters, right? Mm. Posters should be the catalyst for any sort of
sex talk. Yeah, you have a poster on your wall. Mm-hmm. The way that you want to discuss every naked person that you see in someone else's apartment is with your five white best friends in New York City. One of them's name is Chandler. One of them is a duck. One of them's name is Ross. And you're seeing it from a balcony and you're just always commenting on it. And it's like a through line through like 10 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugly naked guy. But then didn't he die?
I think he did.
Wait, in the show or in real life?
In the die.
Both.
Like, you never see him, but at one point they're like, ugly naked guy's not moving. And he like ends up dying.
Jake, I don't know if you know this, but if you die in Friends, you die in real life.
Wow.
Nightmare on Elm Street of sorts.
I just thought of this because of the hockey talk. This could be totally wrong, but somebody once told me that sort of hockey groupies are called puck bunnies, which to me is like the best thing in the world. I don't know. That's a wonderful nickname in my opinion.
I aspire
to
be a puck bunny myself.
Yeah.
Actually, does anybody here want to be my puck buddy? So we'll like, it's like friends without benefits slash icing rules. Offsides off.
Friends without benefits.
So friends.
Yeah. Yes. Friends with no benefits at all. So yeah, dental is not covered, but we still get to
Phoebe and Joey. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Riddle Riddle. That's pitch us your podcast in case, for whatever reason, someone has not heard about it yet. Even though we've been on an episode, you've had over 100 episodes on the HeadGum Network. It's a runaway smash hit. But if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, what is Hey Riddle Riddle?
So it is a riddle and improv podcast. We are the three hosts. We're Chicago improvisers, or we were when there was improv in Chicago. And we do riddles, and then we improvise scenes based off of the riddles. We're not good at riddles. We're not riddle experts, and all the riddles are bad. We're 100 episodes in, and we've run out of riddles. But still come and give us a listen, because it's a fun time.
Start at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Definitely start at the beginning.
Yeah. Do you remember your last favorite shortish riddle? Is there one that we can answer right now? I'm sort of putting you on the spot.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, we had a riddle submitted by someone's six-year-old son that was like, now I'm going to forget it. What did the bull have for lunch?
Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. Us thinking for an hour and a half.
I will say, as you're thinking about the answer, it's less of a riddle and more of a children's joke.
Okay, which so it's like a hamburger or something.
It's chicken. Like a Laffy Taffy reject. It's a Lunchable.
That's pretty good,
and again,
good,
this is a six-year-old.
A
six-year-old.
Yeah, we tore that kid apart for like 25 minutes after that.
Yeah, his dad was like, my son thought of this, my six-year-old son thought of this in the car on the ride home from school, and we absolutely tore him apart.
That's more of a joke than a riddle, you piece of shit. Sweet, yeah. Hey, Riddle Riddle on the HeadGum Network. Check it out. Thanks so much for stopping by, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Thank you for having us. This is so fun.
If you have your own questions or theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening one was that Blink-182. That guy nailed it. And this closing one is one of our most prolific songwriters, Justin Goncalves. Jake, remember him?
Of course I remember JC. I mean, JC.
Fuck! He wants a shout-out to his Insta, which is the best year 96. So, Aaron, you don't have to follow him, but maybe Emily will.
Ooh, I'm going to follow him.
He's a celebrity and an artist.
So thanks, Justin. Thanks. Ooh, do you remember who wrote the opening one? A little dementia test for you guys. Lauren, yes, that's correct.
It begins with an L. Yeah.
Nailed it. And thanks to Hey Riddle Riddle for stopping by. We'll be back, of course, next week. Bye, everybody.
Later.
Let's swipe right on Tinder. Only for the Huns. Try to bang the daughters
with consent
and just having fun. Only talk through phones and on the net. I wish I knew what to do. Let's email it to If I Were You. Make sure you're not the problem. It comes from within. Jake and Amir are here and they will help you win. You're a textless, dull, pathetic bitch, and you haven't got a clue. Just email it to If I Were You.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring? Yeah,
Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.